Welcome back to the Roundtable. Each week, on a Tuesday specifically, we welcome an independent bookseller to the studio to suggest some hand-selected books from their hours of shelf-stocking reading and title perusing, and this week no different. Joan Grenier joins us now from Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Hi, Joan.
Hello. Good morning.
Should we call you Grenier today?
That's okay.
Okay. Grenier.
All right. I grew up saying Grenier.
All right. Fair enough. And how are things at the Odyssey Bookshop?
They're good. Yeah. They're very good.
Busy?
Yes. It's been busy. Yes. We now are the Mount Holyoke College campus store since July.
Oh.
So that has kept us very busy. I'm learning about water bottles and lanyards and sweatshirts and infant wear.
There's more to learn about water bottles than one would suspect.
Oh, well, lanyards is even more complicated.
Really? Yeah. Well, maybe next time on the show. So what do you have in store for us today?
Well, I have a wide selection of books, but I'm going to start with Democracy in Chains, The Deep History of the Radical Right's Stealth Plan for America. It's by Nancy MacLean. She is an American historian at Duke University. And the book is a finalist for the National Book Award in Nonfiction. She was supposed to join us at Mount Holyoke on November 15th, but she decided to go to the celebration. And
I guess one could cut her some slack on
right.
that. Now, you know, Nancy was interviewed by Joe on the Roundtable.
Really?
Yeah, and yeah. I think you can get that online at WAMC.org.
Oh, great. Yeah. So she will come back to Mount Holyoke in January.
Oh, good.
And hopefully with the finalist award.
And pick up a lanyard.
Or what? Water bottle.
Exactly.
So my husband and I have an active citizen book group at the Odyssey, and we've been meeting for over 2 years. And in Democracy in Chains in 2017 was one of the books that we found the most eye-opening, informative, and disturbing. I would strongly recommend this book, along with Jane Mayer's brilliant Dark Money, two of the most important books to understand our current political situation and specifically the radical right's agenda. Her book, and it's really funny how she stumbled on this, she was very interested in what happened in Virginia after Brown, because the Virginia schools, they closed all the schools for several years to avoid desegregating. And she heard about this economist, James McGill Buchanan, at the University of Virginia. And in response to Brown, he had a whole economic theory that he developed, and he established the Center for the Study of Public Choice at UVA. And although public choice sounds innocuous, the choices he refers to really are private property rights of corporation and the wealthiest Americans. So he trained many economists throughout his career. He was at UCLA for a while, and then he was at George Mason. Well, anyway, she stumbled the year after he died. She had been reading about him, and she went to this deserted mansion on George Washington University that used to be his center.
Wow.
And the archives were just there. They were disorganized. Nobody was there. So she really found this treasure trove of all his letters, all his speeches, etc. Eventually, he would become involved with the Koch brothers and other wealthy individuals and help with who were funding not only his institute, but the Cato Institute, Heritage Foundation, Americans for Prosperity, and many other organizations for promoting the radical rights agenda. And so she really does all this research, and her writing is terrific. You know, there's a lot of history and dates and things, but you really see how the radical right started in the 50s and 60s and right up to the present day. The stealth in the title is really, really key because people weren't really saying what they meant. Mm. You know, they're really looking at really giving rise to oligarchs in this country and wanting to free corporations of government regulation. So it's, you know, it's the deregulation, the attack on unions and public employees, attack on public schools, etc., restricting voting, lowering taxes for the wealthy, which, of course, we're right in the middle of this proposed tax plan. And I really think this is a very, very important book for people to read. So I'm hoping that people will take a look at it, and I think hopefully come hear her at Mount Holyoke in January.
This is Democracy in Chains, The Deep History of the Radical Right Stealth Plan for America by Nancy MacLean. And again, That interview between Joe Donahue and Nancy MacLean is available at WAMC.org. What's next?
The next is a novel, Savage Country, by Robert Olmsted. This is the first book I've ever read by Robert Olmsted, and I will really need to go back and catch up on his earlier work. The novel begins in 1873 in Kansas, so it's not long after the Civil War, which still really resonates with people. It has two brothers, David Conklin and Michael. David has just been killed by a wild horse, and his widow is left with their farm, but unbeknownst to her, he was terribly in debt. So the brother shows up. They haven't seen him in years, and they fought on different sides of the Civil War. But David had a plan to, you know, at this point, it's the locust-infected areas of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And he had a plan that he had detailed and explored to go on a buffalo hunt, which, if successful, would yield a very rich reward. So Elizabeth, the widow, convinces her brother-in-law to stay and help her organize and embarks on a difficult journey. It is amazing what they have to bring with them, what they, I knew the buffalo had been killed, but I didn't know any details really about it. And it's just amazing, this wagon train, they have to bring everything, including to find the bullets after they shoot, you know, the animals. Just, it's like, you can shoot them just like that, hundreds of them in a day, up to 1,000 a day. So they have hunters and skinners and teamsters, and I didn't realize that the buffalo hides were part of the Industrial Revolution because they created industrial belts.
Oh.
I never knew that.
Huh.
And so that's one of the reasons they were in such demand. But there's also a lot of grittiness in this novel. There's bloodshed and dangers from, there's really too many rattlesnakes for me in this book, but they're there. Lightning strikes, fires, floods, and human greed. Also, when Robert Olmsted was with us, so we have signed copies, and he mentioned as he was signing books that Casey Affleck has optioned three of his books.
Oh, really?
So we'll probably be seeing them at some point in the future.
Okay, that is Savage Country by Robert Olmsted. No. And we are talking to Joan Grenier from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts.
I have another novel that I wanted to talk about, and I don't know how this happened, but this is more Irish brothers. This is The World of Tomorrow by Brendan Matthews, set in June of 1939. It's just a week. And it's three brothers, Francis, Martin, and Michael. It's a very long book. It's one of those great novels that covers a lot. Even though it's a week, it covers a lot of people. And so the three brothers, one is already in New York City. It's the time of the World's Fair. And he is a jazz player, so there's an awful lot about music and the jazz clubs. And it's, you know, it's 39, so there's beginning to be integrated jazz bands.
Right.
And the other brothers show up, but they have, one brother has been is like a jailbird, but his father died, so they let him out to the funeral. And the other brother has been a seminarian, and they both go on the run, and they end up in an IRA house that has bombs in it, and there's an explosion, and they end up stealing money and coming to the United States, and there's a lot going on in this book. There's also a few other characters. There's Lily Block, who's a Jewish photographer from Prague, from Czechoslovakia, and it's right when she can't go back. She shouldn't really go back because Hitler has marched in. It's just really a great sprawling novel that I really loved. And Brendan Matthews was a Fulbright scholar to Ireland. He lives with his wife and four kids in Lenox, Massachusetts, and teaches at Bard at Simon's Rock.
And also was on the book show with Joe.
Yes.
Another one you can get at WAMC.org.
I know.
Isn't that amazing, the synergy?
It is.
What else, Joan?
Let's see. Another Irishman.
Ah!
Finn Murphy. You can't get more Irish than that.
I think you're right.
The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tale of Life on the Road. So this is a book that came out in June, but it's still selling, and it's one of those books that almost anybody could read. It is about long-haul trucking, and there's really a lot to learn about that. Finn went to Colby College for 3 years, but he was doing some moving in the summers with moving companies. And so at the end of his third year at Colby, he tells his parents that he's not going to finish. He's going to become a trucker. They don't talk to him for about 2 years. And so he really has these fascinating stories. And he will be with us Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Odyssey. I think this is a book for just about anybody. You know, you might not think I'm going to pick up a book on truckers, but it's just fascinating. He has one trip that he does from New England, where he goes to Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and he's picking up all moving items for people who are moving to Florida, retiring, you know, snowbirds. And it's just fascinating how he has to pack everything in, know where it's going, and then he delivers it to Florida. And some of these people said, I don't know why I brought this down here. I really don't need it. But one thing I did want to mention is that Fenn says you would be surprised that most truckers listen to NPR.
I got to be honest with you. We get more than our fair share of calls on Vox Pop from long-haul truckers.
Yeah.
They're on and they listen.
He says he listens to Terry Gross all the time, and that, you know, also as you're traveling, you can just do a little search and get to the next station.
That's a great slice of Americana.
It is.
And trucking, you make good money, but it's hard work.
Well, he's at the high end now, and I think he makes about $250,000 a year.
It's some good bread there.
Yeah.
But it's not an easy life.
It's not an easy life.
All right, Joan, what's next?
The next book is one that I really wanted for myself. When my parents were alive, I would always tell them what I wanted for the holidays, and it would always be a photography or art book. This is Annie Leibovitz's Portraits, 2015 to 2016, and this is a follow-up to two of her other books. I didn't bring the book with me because it weighs about, I don't know, 12, 15 pounds, I think. And it's beautiful. Fiden has published it, a great art publisher. And this one is all in color, which her last one, which was 1990 to 2005, which I have, is almost all black and white. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of portraits of famous people, but ranges from artists and the Queen of England and actors and writers. So just a great new book from her. And she's she's amazing. She's just really amazing.
So that's a great
holiday
gift.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Moving right along.
In your last 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, okay. So I'm going to do The Naturalist Notebook for Tracking Changes in the Natural World Around You by Nathaniel Wheelwright and Bern Henrich. It also, besides giving you details about how to do that, it has a 5-year calendar journal in here. And I am going to do this starting in January. I love to be out in nature. I grew up in the woods. I don't get to do it as much as I used to. And I think you really can, you know, your observation skills can really develop. And also, it's very healthy to be out in nature.
Indeed.
Indeed.
But you'll run out of pages quickly if you really get into it.
It's 5 years. So, you can put what day the frost came or what day you saw this bird, and you can look at it over 5 years.
I like it.
Yes. Quickly?
Yeah.
Moosewood. Love their cookbooks. The Moosewood Restaurant Table is their brand new one. It's 250 brand new recipes from the Natural Foods Restaurant that revolutionized eating in America. And I went back and looked at the first Moosewood that I have. Mostly vegetarian and vegan. I don't think they have any fish in here. I didn't see any fish. But they really, their last book, Moosewood Restaurant Favorites, is one of my favorite cookbooks. They really are creative with food combinations and international cuisines. And I wanted to point out one item that we got in our CSA from the farm that we get a share every week. And it's called Romesco. My husband brought it home. He said, I don't know what it is. and they have a recipe for it in here. And it's kind of a cross between a cauliflower and a broccoli. Have you ever seen it?
There's a lot of things I haven't seen. I'll tell you that. No, I haven't seen that one.
Well, and it has these little cones on it. So they have a recipe for Romesco with green salsa.
Well, fantastic. All right, I think we will have to leave it there.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The Moosewood Restaurant Table, 250 brand new recipes from the Natural Foods Restaurant. Joan Grenier joins us from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. You can find them online at odysseybks.com. Joan's list and even more on that list will be on our website. You can go online, wamc.org/roundtable. Joan, thank you for being here.
Can I mention one more thing?
In 5 seconds.
John Hodgman will be at the Shea Theater in Turner's Falls. We'll be selling books on Friday for his new book, Vacation Land.
And we can find out about that at odysseybks.com.
Yes, you can.
You're listening to The Roundtable.